Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans for a hope and a future." Welcome to Orphans No More, a ministry of justice for orphans. I'm Sandra Flack, and joining me today is an amazing young woman who has a hope and a future, and I know God is going to do big things through her. Miss Agnes Tucker is 19 years old. Is that right, Agnes?
Yes, ma'am.
And a nursing major and lives in North Carolina with her family. Welcome to the show, Agnes.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, Agnes, you didn't always live in North Carolina. You grew up in an orphanage in Uganda until you were adopted in 2010, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Adopted along with two of your siblings, Ruthie and Nathan, by your parents, Jerry and Jody Tucker. Some of our listeners may be familiar with Jody Tucker. She's your mom, and she's also the International Director for Orphan Sunday for Christian Alliance for Orphans. So, Agnes, what was your life like in Uganda?
Well, I've been here for about 5 years ago, but I lived in Uganda for 14 years. I grew up in an orphanage with my siblings, like you said, Ruthie and Nathan, and Fred as well, that you hear about later. My job at the orphanage was to be a mother to my siblings, but also I was a student as well at the orphanage.
So you went to school. You had some education there.
Yes, at the orphanage they taught us. They taught us. It was like a school, but also an orphanage. It was mixture of both. And we stayed at school, and the older children took care of the little ones. And since I was the oldest, I took care of my little siblings, but also some other kids as well, because we considered ourselves as a family, because we all had the same dream and the same goal to get a family.
And but there came a time when you actually aged out of the orphanage and had to leave. Tell us about that.
Yes. So once you're about to turn 15, since I was kind of smart, I started school early. I aged out at the age of 14, but normally the age out age is 15 years old. So once you turn 15, you age out the orphanage, and basically their job is done to raise you and to care for you. And you get released, and it doesn't matter if you have anywhere to go or not. Some people who don't have anywhere to go, you get sent out back to the streets. Basically, you're back to being an orphanage on the streets.
Mm.
And I aged out of the orphanage as well. When I aged out of the orphanage, I went to take care of my grandmother, who recently died. She was really, really sick, and she was the only person I could go to at that moment, since I didn't have anywhere to go, and since my parents hadn't started working on the adoption process. So I took care of my grandma in a one-room house, and she couldn't walk or move, and all she did was lay down, and I had to bathe her, feed her, everything, and that's where I got the inspiration of becoming a nurse or working in the medical field.
Wow. So you aged out of the orphanage at 14. And you, unlike many children, you actually had a place to go, but you moved into the one-room building and took care of your very sick grandmother.
Yes, ma'am.
Who has since passed away, but at this time she was bedridden, very sick, and you cared for her.
Yes.
What did you think when you found out that you and your siblings, Ruthie and Nathan, were going to be adopted? Because it was that time that you were with your grandmother caring for her that you got word that you were going to be adopted.
That was like the golden moment of my life. Although I didn't know what to do about my grandmother about that moment, but everything seized in that moment, and all I thought about was, wow, finally God did answer my prayers. For about 14 years I've been waiting for a family that would love and care for me. And it was so weird, because I wasn't expecting it. I was like, well, I aged out of the orphanage. Mainly it means you're not in the orphanage anymore, so people who are going to come and adopt children in the orphanage normally don't adopt people who already aged out at the orphanage. But since I had my siblings over there, it was like I still had a place there, and God used that connection between me and my siblings and to get adopted. And once I had those news, I was so relieved. I was so worried about my future, what I was gonna do, because once I finished eighth grade, which is at the orphanage, they stopped at eighth grade. I was basically done. I had no hope of going to high school or even college at that moment. And finding out those news, it really changed my perspective, and I had hope, and I it was like a golden ticket to everything I've prayed for.
It changed your whole life, right?
Yes. To me, that was God answering my prayers that I've been praying for the very long time.
So now you mentioned that you actually did have another brother. His name is Fred. And the Tuckers were coming to adopt you and Ruthie and Nathan. But what did the orphanage director tell you about Fred?
So since my mother and dad, they wanted three kids, Fred was like the fourth sibling for us. And my orphanage director told me not to tell about my brother and if I wanted to come here. And I don't know any how you guys would do that, but for me, I wasn't ready to turn down that opportunity, because it didn't come around like that. So I had to keep it a secret from everybody, even my parents, the lawyers and everything, because getting adopted involves all those high people,
right?
The lawyers, the embassy, all that kind of stuff. So it was heartbreaking, but I had to pretend like I didn't have any other sibling in that. I didn't have a brother. Even when I saw him around, I had to pretend that I didn't know him. And it wasn't a big deal at that time during the process of adoption.
Right.
But after the process was completed and I got home, then it hit me that really I just basically denied my brother in front of everybody else. And it just started haunting me, and I had multiple sleepless nights and so many thoughts. The guilt was so heavy on my heart, and I just couldn't do it anymore. I had to tell, no matter what the cost was, what was going to be. So when, like, I had so many thoughts and scenarios in my head, about how I was going to approach my parents with this. And they kind of already knew something was wrong with me because of the way I was acting. They were ready to talk to me, but I wasn't ready to talk to them because they didn't really know what I was going to say.
And you were actually afraid
that did I know what I was going to say. And there were so many things that was going around in my head, and what if? So I was like, what if I tell them and they don't want us anymore and they send us back?
Right.
And I was like, what if I do this? And, like, everything was negative at that point.
Right.
No matter what, which way I approached the scenario, everything was negative. And I didn't want to ruin it for my little siblings. I didn't want to ruin their future. I didn't want them to go through the same thing as I did, aging out. Even if they went back, they would at some point age out. I didn't want that for them. And they were happy here. I didn't want to ruin their happiness. But I just couldn't do it. Finally, I got the bravery to tell them no matter what it was gonna be. I was like, if they send us back, then I guess that's what God destined it for us to be. And if God meant for us to stay in this family forever, then telling them about my brother would not destroy what God's future or plan is for me. And basically, that's what gave me hope and bravery to tell them. And I knew God was with me because he put my brother in my life, and I know he wanted him to be there. He put him in my life for a reason. So I went on the couch and told my parents that I have a brother. Tears were all over my face. And when I told them that, it was silent. And I was wondering what is really going on in their head. And we just kept looking at each other, whispering. And I was like, oh, my gosh, it's over. But then the silence broke. And they were like, we're going to get your brother. And that, I was like, wow. I'm going to say this, like, when I got here. So this, I couldn't have this guilt that I've been carrying around. I was so relieved, and I was so happy that I didn't have to carry that burden anymore on my chest. And I was kind of worried about if that would mess up the paperwork, but my parents knew how to do it, and I thank God for guiding them through it. And now my brother's finally here, and I'm so happy about that.
So Fred came home in 2013. The Tuckers also adopted Fred, your brother, into your family.
Yes, ma'am.
Wonderful. So you actually arrived, you and Ruthie and Nathan came first, and your parents brought you home actually Halloween night, you shared with me, in 2010.
So
what was it like leaving Uganda and coming to the United States?
Well, leaving Uganda was kind of sad because I had to say goodbye to everything and everybody that I knew. And but I was also happy that I didn't have to stay in the world where I was hopeless and had no family. And I'd rather stay in a world where I had a family, and I was happy and sad at the same time that I left Uganda. But when I got here, everything was sort of different in my eyes. The food, the weather, the way people dressed, the people themselves. It was totally a different culture. And I had to learn and get used to everything. And I remember that day we came on Halloween night. We didn't know it was Halloween. And our parents, I guess, you know how they give out candy on Halloween night? I guess they turned off the light. The kids didn't come to our house, so we had no idea that it was Halloween night. And that night, my sister and I, we stayed up late in our closet, trying on clothes that our parents had bought for us, because in Uganda, in our orphanage, we only had, like, three sets of clothes, one for Sunday, one is your uniform for school, and your nightgown. And so seeing a closet full of clothes that doesn't have specific days or specific events you have to wear it for, it was overwhelming for us. So we stayed up really, really late. We tried everything that was in the closet. And so we woke up in the morning, we were really sleepy, And my mom was like, what were you guys doing in the night? We had to try on our clothes. But it was so funny. And that morning when we went to in the driveway to play around, we saw Ken in the driveway. And I remember I looked at my sister and I was like, people here throw food and candy? Awesome. I thought that was so awesome. So we picked up the candy and started eating it. And my mom told us why the candy was in the driveway. She said that was Halloween night. It's like a celebration here, but my mom doesn't really celebrate Halloween because she doesn't believe in Halloween. But we like the candy part.
Yeah. We all like the candy part. So I just want to remind our listeners that you are listening to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about adoption, foster care, or global orphan care, visit our website at justicefororphansny.org. I'm Sandra Flack, Executive Director of JFO, and joining me today is the amazing Miss Agnes Tucker. Agnes and her siblings were adopted from Uganda in 2010. Today, she is a nursing student and has some pretty big dreams. Agnes, why did you choose nursing as your major?
I chose nursing as my major because I have a heart that I want to use to care. I care a lot about people. And I want to give back what I can, and the most that I can do is take care of them and see them grow in God's, like everybody deserves a chance at life. And since I grew up in Africa, I've seen so many people die and friends and some relatives die around me because of something medicine could cure just because they didn't have the money to take care of themselves. They just died, and I want to be the one to change that. Just because somebody doesn't have money, it doesn't mean that they don't deserve a second chance at life or to be taken and loved, taken care of and loved. And so I chose nursing because I don't want to see that, like, no matter what situation anybody's going in, I believe medicine should be free for everybody because medicine is a gift from God. If I become a nurse, that's God's gift and destination for me, and I want to use that to glorify Him and just give back that gift to Him and give people a chance at life again. And that's why I chose to be a nurse.
So you have a big dream about a hospital. Can you share that dream with our listeners?
Yes. So once I finish my nursing career, achieving that, and I want to go back to Uganda and build a hospital that's going to be free for people who can afford medical care, for orphans who don't have money or anybody to care for them. For the elderly who died because they couldn't work to have the money to take care of themselves to achieve anything that they wanted to achieve while they were still healthy. I want to give back to the community and change and be the example to everyone else that no matter to show them that money is not the concern. Money shouldn't be put first. Money should never be put first in anything. So just because somebody does not have money doesn't mean that they shouldn't be given a second chance at being healthy. And mainly when I do that, I tell people, put yourself in the situation the person is in. What would you want to be done for you in that moment? And what would Jesus do in that moment? So basically, that's why I want to build the hospital, to give back and to be an example to people that you can really do amazing things even if money is not involved.
Because in Uganda, if you don't have money, you can't buy medicine or see the doctor and get medical care.
Yes. So, you know, here when, like, there's an emergency, people get rushed to the hospital and then they give them the bill later, but they get care first. In Uganda, when the ambulance comes to your house, you have to have the money right at hand. If they do even have the ambulance to take you.
Wow.
You have to have money ready before they pick you up and put you in the ambulance to the hospital. And if you don't have money, then there's no way you're going to get to the hospital. So basically, they're just going to leave you there and suffer whatever you are suffering at, although they could cure you and they know exactly what to do to cure you. And that is just so heartbreaking to me. And I want to change that. I want to be the one to change that.
So I understand that last summer you returned to Uganda. Why did you go back last summer?
Last summer I returned back to Uganda because I formed a ministry and I named it after the scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. And I went back to Uganda because I wanted to give hope to the hopeless and to talk and give back to the community in Uganda where people don't have anything. When I went over last summer, I went to different villages, local villages, where even some ministries would not reach because they are so far away from the city. I went and gave clothes to the children in the villages, shoes to the children in the villages, and also I collected medical supplies that I took back to different clinics so that people can try to get health, free health care over there since I donated stuff to the clinic. And it was really life-changing to see that. And although I didn't really have a team, I went with my mother and my cousin. And even like ministries could do stuff, even if it doesn't mean that you don't have a big team behind you. Like, that's something you can do by yourself, clothing the orphans and putting shoes on their feet. You don't need a team for that. If you have a heart, you really have what it takes. All you need is the heart to do that. And I went back and I stayed there for like 10 days, and that's what I did. We closed the orphanage, the orphans. We put shoes on their feet, and we preached to them, we prayed for them, we fed them. It was amazing, and that's when I realized this is the life I am supposed to live, and that is where exactly I'm supposed to be. And hopefully my ministry keeps growing, and I'm also planning another trip this summer that I'm fundraising money for to go back. But this time I want to do something different. God gave me a different vision. While I was in Uganda and last summer, I gave clothes to the kids, but I had this vision in my head. I was like, these clothes, children are going to outgrow them. They're going to outgrow them. And then there's nothing left for them to hold on to. So what I want to do this summer is go back, share my story, and talk to them mainly about the Word of God and how you can hold on to it even when there's nothing to hold on to. When Jesus left and went back to heaven, he didn't leave his clothes for the disciples. And he didn't leave his, like, clothes for the people who were homeless, people he cured. He didn't leave clothes or food, although he could multiply food and give everybody food until they are, like, full. But he did not do that. He left us with his word, which we still live on until today. And that is what I need to do. I mean, yes, they'll need clothes. Yes, they'll need shoes. But the most important thing somebody could live on is the Word of God. Even me, when I'm questioning my religion, questioning things around me, where I'm the point where like, no, I cannot go any further. But when I look at the word of God, my mind changes. I'm like, yes, I do have something to live for. Yes, I do have somebody who cares for me. Yes, there is something that I can keep on holding to, and that is the word of God. That is something we could always and always hold on forever, and it still lives today. You cannot outgrow the word of God just like the way you outgrow your clothes.
That's right. Agnes, you are such an inspiration to us all. And God does have big plans for you. You have an amazing destiny that you've already begun to walk in. So how can listeners follow your journey and even support you along the way? Do you have a website?
Yes, I do have a website. It's called JER2911ministries.weebly.com. And you can look over there, see my story, follow up on my writings, look at the pictures of my last ministry trip, and also as well, help me fundraise for my next trip this summer. If you go to the Give tab, you'll see a GoFundMe page link you could click on and help donate. And with whatever amount you donate is good enough. Even if you don't, you can give. There's a comment page where you can comment, pray, just send me a prayer or a word of God that you think that would help the kids over there that I could share with them when I make it over there.
Wonderful. So we just encourage our listeners to visit Agnes's website. She said it was JER2911ministries.weebly.com. I'll make sure that we post that on our Facebook promo of this show. And also right from her website, you can click on the link to her GoFundMe page and you can invest into her next trip into Uganda that she's putting together for this summer to bring the word of God to the orphans of Uganda. So Agnes, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your story of hope.
Thank you for having me.
So again, visit Agnes's website. We'll put that link on our website. And to learn more about adoption, you can contact us to schedule JFO at your next event. I'd love to come and share at your church, women's group, small group. Go ahead and visit our website at justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.